Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
And a good morning to you. I appreciate you being with the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. This is the wording. These are challenging times. Yeah, maybe more challenging than ever. And Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help you if you need mortgage assistance, even if you're not currently a Rocket Mortgage customer. So, see what these great people can potentially do for you. They're available 24/7 to you at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage will be with you every step of the way. One thing I'm going to tell you right off the bat. I'm not interested in debating with anybody today. Except if it's something nonsensical, like sports. I'm not interested in debating. I thought a lot about how I'd start the show today and how we would begin talking about especially the events of the last 72 hours. And I'm not interested in debating. I don't want to lecture you. I don't want to be lectured. I don't want to be told that there's one way to look at events and you can't look at them any other way. And if you don't look at them that way, you're of the wrong groupthink community. I refuse. I absolutely refuse. I refuse to believe, and I always have, and I will continue to do so. And unfortunately today, if I offend some of you, so be it. If I rally some of you, so be it. But I refuse to believe there is one worldview. I've never believed it. I've never, ever believed that. I refuse to believe in the new normal. You've heard me say that over and over again. As I would say week after week after week, when we would be spoon-fed data of how terrible the coronavirus is, and it was going to kill tens and tens of millions of people, and this was going to be the worst thing ever. And I kept saying to you, I refuse to believe the 24/7 news cycle from network news, whether it comes from the right or the left. And by the way, none of them come from the center. So if you've got a news, cable news of choice or network news of choice, you've already chosen a side to deliver you your news. Again, sorry if that offends you, but it's the truth. So if you're consuming Frosted Flakes for breakfast every single day, and you're feeding your mind Frosted Flakes every single day, you've chosen to eat the Frosted Flakes over and over again. You want to be reinforced by the taste, the flavor, how it makes you feel. And that's exactly what you do with your choice of news. I had to tell my wife yesterday, turn it off. Turn it off. Yesterday, we did not put on the television in our home except to see any live television for more than 20 minutes. I was like, turn it off. There's an agenda. And if you don't understand what the agenda is, let me tell you from a media member who's been in the media since full time since the early 90s, over three decades. Let me tell you what the agenda is. They want you pissed off. They want you angry. They want you on the edge of your seat. They want you thinking your city is going to burn forever. They want you to think that we all hate each other. They want you to think that whatever leader they've decided to attack, whether it's on the left or on the right, they want you to believe those people are racist, those people are criminals, those people are... That's what they want, because they want to spoon-feed you their messaging every single day. And when events like the last few days, and I don't call them the same thing, there are the protests over the death of George Floyd, and there are the riots over the death of George Floyd, and they are not the same thing. They are absolutely not the same thing. I'm an Atlantan. I've been an Atlantan since 1995. Met my wife here, started a family here. My daughter's 16 and a half. She has lived here. We've been an Atlanta family. And by the way, it seems strange to say it, but being an Atlantan for 26 years actually puts me way ahead of many people, because Atlanta is a booming metropolis. Atlanta is one of the, over the 26-year period that I've lived here, one of the fastest growing communities in America. You know why? And by the way, it's not because of some fake slogan, the city too busy to hate. I've been in Atlanta 26 years. I've seen a lot of hate. I've seen a lot of bigotry. I've seen a lot of closed-mindedness. And by the way, I've seen it from all races, colors, and creeds. Seen it everywhere. But you know what? I've seen it a hell of a lot less living in the community that I've lived in than I've seen in other parts of the country where I've been. And I watched Friday afternoon, and I was intent to see it. How was the organic, and it was supposed to be organic, protest over the death of George Floyd going to be handled by the city that I live in Atlanta? And I watched Friday afternoon into early Friday evening, and it was honestly, it was incredible. Some of the comments at the time I see it, I'm having a cocktail, relaxing after a week of work. And I'm watching the protest coverage and everything, and it was peaceful. And there were tons of people. I mean, shoulder to shoulder. By the way, everybody who's been telling you for 2 months you can't leave your house, you can't social distance, all the Karens out there who say, you got to be 6 feet apart, and you got to wear a mask, and you can't be in large crowds. Nobody gave a crap about it anywhere in the country during the past week. So again, as I've told you about that all along, there are people who will nanny-nanny boo-boo you to death about, got to be 6 feet apart, can't have kids in schools, can't do that. But we can put 5,000 people in the midst of one city block and let them be shoulder to shoulder with each other, because we're okay with that, but we're scared of that. I watched a protest that was beautiful in its execution. Absolutely beautiful. There was peace. There was prayer for peace. There were messages of hope. There were people gathering, and there was no trouble at all. And then it got hijacked. I watched two really, really good, I just happened to be on the channel, and I watched two really, really good television journalists in Atlanta, Justin Farmer and Javita Moore, covering the event on the ABC affiliate. And I watched them cover this entire event and go to reporters on the ground and go to, and it was as if there were two absolutely different events that happened in the same window of time. There was peaceful, impactful, people respecting each other, people respecting. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm going, wow. I said, this really turned out great. And like many, many times, I'm in error all the time. But like many, many times, I was in error, because I'm saying, this is incredible. Quiet, peaceful, then gets loud, then gets, people respecting each other and getting a message out and wanting to have their message heard. And then it got hijacked. And bad actors amongst the crowd, who, by the way, if you want to see rats, if you want to know where the vermin of society who want to burn down businesses, who want to destroy you and I and create discord and sow discord amongst us? If you want to see what they're going to do, they're going to hang amongst the good people and try to hide and use you as cover. They're going to try to use you as cover because I saw a beautiful event turn into a riot. And by the way, it wasn't the people who were peacefully protesting, who were getting their message out, who were doing the right things. It wasn't them who decided to then turn on the CNN building. And by the way, burn out a ton of local businesses right down the street. If you've ever been to my city, there's a string of restaurants right down the street from the CNN Center, right down the street. Not only including my friends at McCormick and Schmick's, who are right there at CNN Center, and their business was destroyed, looted, destroyed. And then the bad actors who hid themselves amongst the good people went and destroyed a community. Destroyed businesses. Destroyed restaurants. And you know what they weren't doing? They weren't there with the same intention. The people were there to protest. Because the protest went beautifully. And it was documented on live television to a metro area of around 7 million people. And it was documented for all to see that people could gather. They could have their voice heard. They could be respectful. And the message would get out. Hey, pay attention. These are your brothers. These are the people you know. These are the people in your community. These are businesses that you frequent. We're brothers and sisters amongst us. We're telling you, pay attention to this. This is important. It was beautifully done. And then that happened. And it wasn't the vast majority of the crowd. It was a small minority of the group of people that were there. And they decided to hide amongst the good people. And honestly, do the devil's work. So yes, there are many on social media that seem to be having a problem with this week. So let me just say it because I'm not afraid to say it. I don't know anybody who is in any way not annoyed, pissed off, outraged, disgusted, whatever term you want to use, whatever level it got to, with the behavior of a policeman who took the life of a man right in front of a camera. I don't know anybody. I didn't hear anybody that wasn't disgusted by it, outraged by it, or otherwise. But you can be in full support of the protest and you can be absolutely outraged and disgusted by the violence and the criminal behavior that are burning down American cities. You can feel both ways. You absolutely can. You can feel both ways. Because I saw it in my city. And by the way, I saw my home city yesterday have a descent into lawlessness. That, by the way, same type of thing. People want to go out and congregate and do something for good, get a message out. Brothers and sisters in the community want to say, hey, pay attention to this. This is important to us. Listen to this. Do something about, help us do something about this. And then the bad actors intersperse and decide, time to burn down the Foot Locker. You can be disgusted by both. You can absolutely be. And I know everybody's pent up right now. We had our country shut down, depending on where you live. Thankfully, I live in a city where we've been open for we've been open for 38 days today. We've been open for 38 days. So we're living a different life than people are living in other cities. We're all pent up. So there's also, all you've got that tension going on. You got like 40 million Americans who don't have a job right now because they were told you're not allowed to go to work. That's why they don't have a job. Not because of any other reason. The day that shutdown started, we had more Americans working than have ever worked in the history of our country. Ever. from every walk of life. And then we were told we had to stay home. You remember? Stay home, stay 6 feet apart, stay, got to be, until this week, then that just went out the window. No cares anymore about social distancing at all. No nanny nanny boo boo lectures from your network news people about how close you are to somebody else. We're all pent up. We're all a little fed up. And you know what? Fed up is good. Fed up is good. As long as we listen. And as long as we listen to each other. But we are never going to reach the bad actors in our communities. And by the way, you know it. Just watch the videos. You know it. I know it. The bad actors are white. They're black. They're Asian. They're Hispanic. Looks like there's a lot of bad actors that are coming from every walk of life that are trying to intersperse and trying to hide among us. You know what I think the best thing we could all do? You know some of these bad actors. You know who they are. Spend as much time worrying about them and exposing them and letting them be exposed for who they are as we do about the freaking Kardashians. Or whoever's big on TikTok this week. Spend as much time worrying about that. You know where the bad actors are. You know who some of these people are in your community. They're working against all of us. They're working against every one of us who is outraged. These people don't live invisibly. These people are not invisible. You've watched videos. You know some of these people. I know it. Don't let them live invisible. Don't let them hide amongst you and use you as cover for what they want to do. All right, I'm fired up. You know I'm fired up. I'm glad that we can have a discussions every week. And our toll-free line will be open for you at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. I want you to visit geico.com/giveback for information and eligibility. We will not be talking about all of this for 3 hours today. I've got so many things I want to talk about with you, too. We will discuss it, and I will get some of your calls in on it. But we've got Major League Baseball ready to burn down its own house. And we have a fraud being exposed by ESPN. All coming up. Thanks for joining me. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
There's Elton John, baby. Another Atlantan. Elton's got the spent a lot of his life here in Atlanta. I'm glad to be. I'm here at 680 The Fan in Atlanta, which is the home of the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You may be listening on your great local affiliate. You may be listening on Sirius XM 206. Or you may be listening on the radio.com app. Those are all great, great options. Anthony, I always check in with you and find out how New York is doing, but did you have any problem getting to work today? Because you guys did or did not have a curfew? Because we did.
Again, in Atlanta. It's been, we're downtown here at the studios, so
correct.
It's quiet in lower Manhattan. So okay. I had no issue getting in.
Oh, okay. Did you not, but New York did not have a curfew last night, right? We did in Atlanta.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, we did in Atlanta. We had one. And it was a lot of people, by the way, talking about Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms and her address to the city of Atlanta on Friday night.
Oh, she was great. That was powerful.
It was powerful, wasn't it? And Keisha and I, Madam Mayor, and I have had a few differences of opinion on things as far as some different decisions that were made and things like that in her tenure. But I was so proud of her the other night. That was such a great, great address. And I love it when people speak. And if you listen to this show, I love it when people speak viscerally. I love it when people speak from the heart, make it relatable. Keisha Lance Bottoms related to every Atlantan, and more importantly, she related to every parent in any way possible. And I'm not just talking about parents of African-American children. I'm talking about every parent in Atlanta. And then T.I. and Killer Mike came up, and it was quite interesting to watch that news conference. Anthony, that news conference doesn't happen in most American cities. It happens in Atlanta. It doesn't happen in most American cities. And by the way, all the people being exposed to Killer Mike now. And I enjoyed I'll tell you a story about Killer Mike a little bit later on in the show. He joined us live on stage for the 200th Shaq podcast when we taped that. And we did it in front of a live audience. And he was our guest on it. And Killer Mike and I got into some interesting debate. And it was a lot of fun. He was fun to debate with. He was respectful. We were respectful to each other of differing ideas. And I learned a lot. The guy was really interesting to learn from. Caesar in Dallas joins us. Caesar, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, John? It's been a while, but you know I always listen to your show.
I know you're listening because you want to see how I'm feeling about your Cowboys. I feel like your Cowboys have set themselves up nicely, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I think so too. You know, everybody's talking about Dak's contract, but he's going to get taken care of. I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah, but that's gonna hurt you going forward.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it tends to.
Yeah, we got to be, you know, linebackers locked up, our DNs locked up, running backs locked up. You know, we just got wide receivers locked up. Dak's next, you know. But, you know, that I don't want to talk about that right now.
Sure.
There's riots going on right here in Dallas. You know, I'm very glad you said what you said earlier, you know, that we have the right, you know, to feel angry about the situation and also feel angry about the violence.
You can do both.
I was going. I tweeted something last night, and my friend said, "You're part of that. That's why you're part of the problem." You know, because I've seen people blocking the streets, and you have people trying to get somewhere. And you know, I'm sure human beings don't do it on purpose, running another human being over. You know, I'm sure it was an accident. I really don't know. And, you know, I tweeted, well, you know, they shouldn't be blocking the roads. You know, people have somewhere to be. And, you know, he came at me saying, well, you're part of the problem. So, and I told him, well, you're telling me so it's right to burn stores down, you know, businesses down, and ruin people's lives.
Well, and Caesar, the key is what you've got the right idea. No one gets, there is no one size fits all answer to this. You do not have to accept the looting and the fires and everything like that to also be outraged to say that has to go hand in hand with being outraged over the death of George Floyd. That's ridiculous. And people accusing you of that is crazy. By the way, would you tweet me when you hang up the phone? Just tweet at me. Just so I can make sure. Okay. I want to give you a follow so we can have a chance to chat some other time if you need me. All right, buddy?
Okay. Oh, yeah, for sure, John. Appreciate
it,
man.
Take care, buddy. James in Wisconsin joins us early in the morning. James, how are you, buddy?
Good. Always good to hear you. I just want to say good job on what you said earlier. I also agree with you. Here's my thoughts on it. It shouldn't have never got to this point because as soon as they saw that video, he should have been in custody right away.
You and I would have been, James, you and I would have been.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And then there's another underlying thing in this country, not just racism, but overpower and overreach from government officials. I mean, that's from top down, both parties.
Well, I mean, James, one of the things I keep hearing from people is people are outraged this week. And then I'm hearing them go, well, you got to vote. Okay, I would ask you, if you're outraged by how your community is handling things,
right,
I want you to check the party of the mayor, of the governor, of the senators. Because don't tell me it has anything to do with the freaking White House, because the White House has had, we've had these problems every single president we've ever had in my lifetime. So who are your elected officials? Who's your mayor? Who's your senator? And if you're telling me, oh, you got to get out and vote, then don't vote in the same people over and over again. Vote in different ideas and try something different.
I get that. And a lot of these guys are protected by a union, and they won't. I mean, they just resurfaced and recircled into back into the union. And before I leave, there's a great song by the I'm Black, so this is crazy. A great song by an artist, Billy Joel. It's called "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Yes,
it's always burning, but the world keeps turning. This thing has been underlined.
Yes.
It's always been here, and it everybody's just been brushing it aside, and it came to his head behind this COVID stuff, and people have been pent up, and they already got anger issues, so it just came out to the surface.
And guess what? It's as you said, with that Billy Joel song, and it's great. I'm sure Anthony will dig it up today because that is absolutely the truth. It's not, if we expect to snap our fingers and think the world's going to be different than it has been for generation after generation, right. It's going to be incremental change. It's not going to be sweeping wide change. And no. but you having a voice, me having a voice, and us finding common ground, that's how things will get done. And guess what? We're never going to fix it, but we can make it better. We can make it slightly better, incrementally better, and then maybe our children can make it better. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what I would hope for. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you listening. Very much so.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
We'll try to keep it unexpected for you, but expect some good give and take. We try to have a little fun. I know it's a tough week, but we're going to try to do what we normally do. And we have gotten into a lot of discussions, as always, and we always will on this show. Sometimes a little uncomfortable. I just unhooked the microphone. Anthony, that's what that was. I just unhooked my microphone.
Where'd JK go? Uh-oh.
I was shifting the microphone, and it came loose, and I unhooked it. So there I am. There I am. I know Mo in San Diego wanted to get in with us. Mo, are you up early or up late?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm up. I have no idea why. I'm definitely tired. I'm going.
You're definitely tired.
Wow. Definitely. Right. So this is probably my last event for the night here. But I wanted to jump in here. I look at this scenario and I look at the police officers that are involved with this. This is a sports talk radio show.
Sure.
I don't think these are the types of police officers. I don't think these are the type of people who played sports growing up. I think they were the types of people who, kind of got the short end of the stick growing up. They kind of maybe got isolated. Maybe, people maybe kicked on them or something, but they didn't get the opportunity to be in a team environment where you had to cross lines of color and different, demographics and stuff like that. And that takes itself into it. They don't screen these police officers well enough. They don't put them in positions where they have to be tested in these types of isolated situations and to see how they handle themselves. These are officers who are coming in and they are afraid of the people that they are actually having to deal with.
Okay.
And
now, Mo, hold on a second. I absolutely believe you are describing some in law enforcement. I'm just asking you to watch your wording because I believe the ones involved in this incident, I'd absolutely believe you got a handle on things. There's an attitude there. There's a look there. There's a posturing there. My brother is in law enforcement for 28 years.
Yeah.
And I know my brother managed to go through a career without ever having a black mark on him. It's not. Yep. And there are so many of that I just go away. Go on.
And that's the majority of them. But the point is that, these few officers, it's a scenario where the margin for error is almost zero. You don't have any margin for error.
No question.
Positions. And you're in a position of authority and you're holding a weapon and you have everyone's, is yielding to you because of the position that you have. They have to screen tighter for these people that are seeping through the cracks, and they're in these positions where they're literally afraid of the people that they're having to deal with. And then when they get in the scenario where that person is submitting to them and they've got them arrested, instead of being able to control the situation, they exert that fear that they have. It's almost like if a woman was in a house and someone tried to break in the house and she was scared to death and she hid behind the door, and she jumped behind from the door and hit the guy with a baseball bat. And so instead of just being, okay, I got him knocked out, I got control of the situation.
I'm gonna take it one step further.
Because of all of the fear that she had when she was hiding. And so, but the point is really about they don't screen enough. It's too easy for the common person to come through the process and get into the doors, and now they got a gun and a badge, and they just figure their first situations are in these types of scenarios, and they don't handle them.
And Mo, I appreciate you sharing that thought. I love it, and I thank you for joining me. Get some rest, though, dude. Get some rest. You're tired, and we're all tired, but that's good. Love it, Mo in San Diego, for joining us. What I would say is also, though, is that I just won't let, and Mo was clear there. He clarified. I'm just not going to let people do broad brush stuff. Because I know somebody, I'm going to try not to expose them too bad, that has a lot of venom towards police. Okay, now this person that I know has a lot of venom towards police. A lot of anger, very broad brush, police, police, police. And I know that this person was, I guess, in a personal dispute with somebody. And the person who they were in the personal dispute with decided to start to escalate things with them. Started to get threatening. And it started with damage to their property and things like that. And you know what this guy did every day? Every day. Called the cops. And I flat out asked him. I said, well, I thought you like think all cops are bad. You hate cops. Oh, no. And it all changed. I'm like, look, just don't do the broad brush thing. If we have bad cops, call them out. And by the way, root them out. And let's have a zero tolerance policy. I will invite you to go and look at how many times this officer in this incident was allowed to wiggle off of allegations of being a bad cop. And you know what? When you have outrage about that, and you go and you read it, and you read how many times they could have had that guy off the street before he killed George Floyd on the street, right in front of you on camera, till he died in his control, I would welcome you to see who let him wiggle off the hook. Who chose not to prosecute him? Who chose not to bring charges against him? There's your outrage. Again, I said it before. Oh, vote, 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 vote. Everybody got to vote. Get out and vote. Okay, good. Well, you know what I want you to do? If you're really about that, it's about who's your DA? Who's your mayor? Who's your senator? Who's your congressman? Who's your governor? If you're talking about voting being the issue that's going to resolve all this, and it's systematic. This is, and we all agree. We all agree. I think white, black, everybody can agree. The systematic problems we've got. Then vote different people into office. Don't keep voting the same people in. If that's the problem. If voting is the issue, then vote them out. The people who have created this system. Because your local officials are the ones who are making these decisions. So I'm all for it. You want to cry vote? Vote, 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 vote. Good, vote. Everybody vote. But vote out the people. If you're so offended, vote out the people that you think are ineffective. Don't blame it on don't blame it on senators in D.C. Don't blame it on the man in the White House at the time. Because, by the way, we had these problems under President Obama. We had these problems under President Bush. We had these problems under Bill Clinton. We had these problems under Ronald Reagan. That's why we call it systematic. It's been going on forever. It didn't start with the current inhabitant of the White House. It didn't start 50 years ago. And it starts at the local level. Who's your mayor? Who's your DA? Who's your congressman? I'm all about it. You want to be about voting? That's great. But don't keep voting the same people in with the same bad policies and the same negligent behaviors. Jimmy in Miami joins us. Jimmy, what's going on, brother?
Good discussion this morning, John. You're
what's going on,
very
man?
Fair to everyone. I did want to mention something to you that is also systematic. Anybody who has familiar with protesting and activists, one of the things that you just have to take for granted is anytime there is a protest, no matter how just the cause, there is going to be agent provocateurs that are there to stir up violence,
hijack it. A
very, very good friend of mine who was an activist, and I could not take part because I was always working just to make ends meet, just was telling me of when they were taking part in an activist in Chapel Hill, and he just says, there was this person who comes up and goes, yeah, we ought to start throwing bricks at the cops. And instantly the group that he was with recognized and outed this person as going, get rid of this person. This is an agent provocateur, and the person left. So there's no lack of those types of people that are going to take part in every protest.
Yeah, yeah.
Very often they do get in the heads of normally decent people who then are encouraged to do looting and violent acts. So that's
yeah, and that's what happens. Jimmy, I thank you, buddy, and I appreciate you checking in. It is the truth. It's the truth. I watched it on Friday unfold in my city, where a beautiful, like peaceful, impactful protest got hijacked by bad actors, period. Chris in Birmingham, Alabama joins us. Chris, what's going on this morning, brother?
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. What's going on?
Oh, man, it's wild out there.
How is it? I have not seen anything from Birmingham. Anything? I guess it's good that I haven't seen any, you know, really headlines coming out of Birmingham.
Yeah, the silver mass strife and anger is all over,
right.
The world.
Right.
But I just called just for two things, really. Just possibly some would agree with what you're saying.
Okay.
And most address the NFL.
Okay, go for it.
Looting and rioting should stop immediately because it doesn't really solve anything whatsoever. And you're saying that between there are some good people and also some bad actors in between. Yeah.
Correct.
They're going to help prevent the bad actors from happening. They should literally just stop. Protests should actually help police and actually probably possibly stop them. And honestly, I just want to address the NFL with that, I guess, that horrible PR tweet that they posted out on the Twitter account. I mean, NFL chose a side, and now they're just backpedaling all of a sudden. And honestly, like, they chose money. To me, they chose money, a bottom dollar, over morality. Like, and even especially when they initiated that NFL kneeling thing,
I want you to, and I got to run here. I want you to stay. I want you to stay tuned because I've heard a lot of people revisiting the NFL kneeling thing, and I couldn't disagree with you more on that. Where we found a lot of common ground this morning, I couldn't disagree with you more on that. I'll explain why to you, but I don't have enough time to get into it right now, but I will get into it after the top of the hour. Did you know that tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, you can tee off a night of golf on CBS Sports Network, starting with Course Record with Michael Breed. Then it's a double dose of Nick Faldo, love Nicky, followed by Off the Hosel, as two friends put a fun twist on a classic game. Don't miss it tomorrow at CBS Sports Network, starting at 6:30 Eastern time. I don't want to shortchange it because I've got some notes on it, and I want to make sure that I don't shortchange the topic. I feel bad for baseball. I really do, because Major League Baseball is making a severe mistake right now. Now, the good news is they have a chance to correct it, but they're really making a severe mistake. They're letting a public squabble over money just escalate and escalate while the NBA is moving closer and closer to just crossing T's and dotting I's to returning. The NHL also. NFL and college football. If Major League Baseball passes up this opportunity to play and it's over money, This is going to be a debacle. And yes, to the Major League Baseball Players Association, and I have some friends who play Major League Baseball, guys that I know, that have been a little hard on me this week. Thankfully, hopefully we'll still be friends, but they're pissed at me because I'm telling them, I don't care what happens here, you're going to get the blame. I'm just trying to tell them, you're going to get the blame, whether it's believable or not, whether it's true or not, you're going to get the blame. All right, coming up, I'm tired of hearing about the kneeling situation. Oh, this will be popular. I'll share it with you next. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.